Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you all.
I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever.
Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom.
One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts.
They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations.
The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises, and faithful in all he does. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
As we go together in prayer today, just want to remind you again to pray for those in Mexico. You were given cards last week, and the name of a person was on that card. If you didn't get a card, pray for the whole team, or pray for Sandy Madeline. She's the chief cook and bottle washer. She really needs our prayer. And also, she's our main interpreter in Mexico. Before we pray, back in the beginning of January, my wife and I went down to Anaheim to visit friends and also visit Disneyland, that happy place on earth, usually, except when there are crowds. But anyway, we had a good time. And we stayed in a hotel, and the hotel next to us had a Starbucks coffee. So we were there on a morning for a Starbucks coffee. And we finished, and Rebecca went to the car, and I went to use the restroom. And as I was coming out of the stall, I was washing my hands, thinking about nothing. And all of a sudden, a man in a blue baseball cap threw open the door and said, "Harrison!" And I was startled. I was, "What?" And he says, "Harrison!" And I said, "What?" And he said, "Is your name Harrison?" I said, "Yes, it is." He said, "So is my son's name." And he said, "I'm looking for my son." He was not a happy man. And I was startled. I thought something had happened to Rebecca. And anyway, it was quite a terrifying moment in my life. I had never had anybody call my name in a bathroom, yelling at the top of their lungs, "Harrison." But I tell you that just to say, and I began to think later about this, that God knows my name. He knew exactly where I was. God wasn't confused. He wasn't looking for somebody else. God always knows where I am, and he knows my name. And you know what? God knows your name today also. He knows every hair on your head, or the lack thereof. He knows all about you. God knew Moses' name, Abraham's name, Ezekiel's name, and he knew Daniel's name. He knows the names of everyone in Rancho Santa Marta, and he knows the needs or your needs in whatever situation you find yourself today. Let us pray. Our loving and heavenly Father, we thank you today for the opportunity together as a body in Christ to worship you. We ask you to bind us together through your Holy Spirit. We corporately and individually lift up our needs to you. We pray for our missions team in Rancho Santa Marta. Bless their efforts to help those who are economically less fortunate than we. But most of all, bless their ministry of spreading the good news of your Son to those who don't know you. Open and sensitize hearts so they may see the need for a Savior who is found in Christ Jesus our Lord, our great Redeemer. We rely on your promise that the blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear. Fill the people in Rancho Santa Marta with the joy of your Holy Spirit and keep them safe. And now we bring our needs to you here in Cupertino this morning. For those who are suffering with physical and psychological infirmities and stress, we pray for their healing. You are the great physician and do great and wondrous things beyond our comprehension. We pray for those who are suffering financially or facing marital difficulties. Help us to rely upon you to show us the way. You know our names. You know everything about us. We cry out to you today, Lord, help us. We pray for our church, your church, West Valley Presbyterian Church. Give us clarity of your vision as we look forward to what you want us to do to reach our neighbors with the message of salvation for all who call upon the name of the Lord. And we give you grateful praise as we pray together the prayer you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The Israelites were now living in exile in Babylon, far away from home. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar selected a group of the most healthy, educated Israelite men to study the Babylonian language and culture for 3 years, then put them to work in his royal court. In this group, there were three men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They served the king faithfully, and the king placed them in powerful positions. Nebuchadnezzar wanted his people to worship him, so he built a 90-foot-tall gold statue of himself and commanded everyone in Babylon to worship it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had committed themselves to only worshiping God. So when everyone else in Babylon bowed and worshiped to the statue, the three men stayed standing. Nebuchadnezzar was furious and sentenced them to be thrown into a fiery furnace and burned alive. The king ordered the furnace to be turned up to 7 times hotter than usual, so hot that even the guards who threw them into it were killed. Once the three men were inside, the king jumped up and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men we threw in? I now see 4 men, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." The king ordered the men to come out. When they did, everyone was amazed. Not only were they still alive, but they were in perfect condition. Not a hair on their heads had been burned. Once again, the king was impressed and not only let the men go, but promoted them. Years later, a new king of Babylon named Darius came on the scene. A friend of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego named Daniel, who was also an Israelite, was so well liked by the new king that the other leaders in Babylon became jealous and hatched a plot to get rid of him. They tricked King Darius into signing a law that said Darius himself was a god and should be the only god anyone should worship for the next 30 days. Daniel heard about the law, but chose not to follow it. He went into an upstairs room in his home and looked out the windows facing toward Jerusalem. And he prayed to God 3 times a day. When the Babylonian leaders saw Daniel praying, they told King Darius, who was now forced to punish Daniel. He was arrested and thrown into a den full of lions overnight. In the morning, the den was opened, and Daniel was not only alive, there was not a scratch on him. Years later, after the Israelites had all been living in exile for 70 years, the Babylonians were overtaken by Persia, and the Israelites were allowed to return back to Jerusalem. They were going home.
And now hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 119 and 146. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth, and it endures. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Blessed are those who help, whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endures. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, your mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
I've been meditating the whole week trying to see the significance of what I could say that would fit in with Daniel, and I looked at the scripture, Romans 15, verse 4, where the Apostle Paul assures us, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." And that's what we've been hearing week by week. And actually, a lot of the encouragement has been coming through what you've been singing this morning. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. How did Daniel get his strength? He was praying. And I was thinking back to a couple of accounts in the Bible where when the Israelites moved through the sea, it's actually, they sang songs which actually spoke of God's salvation afterwards. So when we sing these hymns and we come with our hearts, we don't just out of repetition sing it, but we have these songs that we sing, "How great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee." So it comes from an expression of thankfulness. So for myself, I was just kind of thinking that in some of my worst times where there's really been pressure, I've actually had songs that were, the one was, you know, "The Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and are safe." And I remember, I wasn't going to share it last night, but it just came strongly and said, you know, I just felt God said, share it to people, and I just don't speak about it. But I was in a really bad situation where it seemed that my visa wasn't going to come through and I was going to be deported back to South Africa. And I kind of thought, well, that's great. You know, I had a good music career there. That's not going to be too much of a problem. It's not a death sentence. But I kind of felt that I still needed to be here. But it just seemed impossible. And I just kept singing the song, you know, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The mighty run into it and they are safe." And so, you know, God, just place it in your hands. And the miracle of it was that I got the green card. They told me the green card would arrive in 2 months' time, but the notification would come first to let me know. Well, the notification arrived after the green card arrived, and the green card arrived in 3 weeks. So, an absolute miracle. And so, I think on every level we come with such needs, and our needs are all represented here. And we petition to God with thanksgiving. And I just want to share some of these scriptures that have been such encouragement. "The Lord is my strength, my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts. And with my song, I shall thank him." Exodus 15:2, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him." Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." So we're going to sing, let's rise and say, we're going to sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," and you're going to sing it like you've never done in the history of this church.
Let's stand together as we sing, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name."
And run him, Lord.
Amen. You may be seated.
So, hi. My name's Danny. And Anton asked me to share a few thoughts around the same idea. It was interesting for me to see that you're in this series on Daniel. It reminded me of an old joke, which I can't tell because I don't have the right accent. You kind of have to come from like New Jersey or something. But there was an old joke that said, "Do you know the difference between the lions then and the lions now?" Yeah, it's very simple. But anyway, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a furnace because they would not bow to the statue of an emperor. And Daniel was thrown into a lion's den because he would not cease to worship his God. The thing about it is both Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their captors knew that what you bow down to matters. To what you bow the knee matters. When you consider, when we move from them to us, to what do you bow the knee? What's on the throne of your life? The answer to that question can actually reveal a lot about our lives, even if we're not even overtly aware of it. The things that drive our hearts, the things that are hidden in our hearts will drive us. And we will make decisions based on that. We will make choices based on that. Jesus made reference to this many, many times. And I'm only going to choose one. There's a passage in Luke 6 which says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." This is a wonderful passage in the King James from Proverbs. It says, "What a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And Jesus, as I said, made reference to this over and over again. He would say, you've heard it said, for example, a man shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you just look at a woman in a particular way, see, what's going on in your heart, what's going on inside matters. It drives you, and you will make choices based on that. And now we're talking about different facets here of worship this morning. And it's not really my intention to bring you down about that, because I know that if you're here today and you have decided to follow Jesus, then at the core of your heart, I'm convinced at the core of your heart that you really want to be a person that God is calling you to be. I'm convinced of that. I don't think any one of you wakes up in the morning saying to yourself, "I wonder how I can really mess up today. How can I get up today and just really be as sinful as I possibly can?" None of us are doing that. We all want to be who God is calling us to be. And so when we gather in places like this, we gather in churches like this, it's a moment, it's a time to recollect our hearts again. Now, recollection is not just a word that means memory, that remembering. It's an old word that the ancient used where they said you would recollect your heart. That is, to take all the things that your heart is attached to, so let it go and recollect your heart back to the core, back to the center again. And that's what they use this word. They use this word to recollect our heart. The recollected heart is what they would speak about. And that recollection is, we say, at the core, Lord, I remember who you are. At the core, Lord, I remember what you've done for me. At the core, I really want to be who you're calling me to be. I really want you to be the Lord of my life. And only to you do I want to bow. I know that when we come into places like this, that at the core somewhere is this calling of God, because the Spirit is drawing us. The thing is, when we come to places like this and we gather in this way, we bring our whole lives into the space. It's like you can't arrive in the space without the rest of your life. And a lot of people try and do that. And I know when are younger, we will go to college somewhere and then move somewhere else so that we can kind of be somebody, I'm not going to be that person anymore. I'm going to be this person, and I'm going to reinvent myself, and I'm going to grow my hair a certain way, get a tattoo a certain way, get a do thing. I'm going to reinvent or present a different thing. The only thing about that is you have to take yourself with. And you can't leave your stuff behind. So even when we walk into a space like this, we walk in here and we bring our whole lives into the space. There's just no way to avoid that. And so here the songs are saying God is good and God is great, but at times our hearts, it's not congruent with who we are because our hearts have been filled up with something else. Because life has happened, life has gotten in the way, and our hearts have splintered again. And just so you know, my favorite guy in the Bible, David, he expressed this all the time. And the reason why, just so you know, I love David so much, because he messed up so badly. And like I'm going, I can relate to that in a huge way. But in just a couple of moments, in Psalm 13, David says, now he's standing in the congregation. These are songs of David. He's going, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? So there he is in the congregation having written this song. How long will you not answer my prayer? In Psalm 55, he says, listen to my prayer, God. Don't ignore my cry for help. Listen to me. Answer me. I'm overwhelmed by my troubles. Actually, there's one translation that says, my heart is pounding in my chest. So he comes honestly and truthfully into the congregation, into this moment of worship. Probably one of my favorites is from Psalm 3. He says, arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. See, that sounds really spiritual, right? Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. Isn't that just great? I'm standing, it's like standing in church and going, if this was today, and it's like a blues song. Da-na-na-na. Lord, they're naughty people who need to be smashed in the face. In your mercy, Lord, break their teeth. So he's coming honestly and truthfully into the congregation, bringing his whole life there. Now, if we will bring our life here, and just like David, if we'll bring our life there, we will begin to remember and we will begin to recollect our hearts. You know, David speaks to his soul, actually speaks directly to his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget all of his benefits. Right? He speaks directly to his heart. One of my favorites, he says, why are you so cast down, O my soul? And he says, I remember when I used to lead the procession. I remember when I used to lead this procession with glad shouts and songs of praise. I remember that. Why are you so cast down? He says, and he speaks to his soul again. Hope in God, for again I shall praise him. And then he turns to God and he says, my soul is cast down within me, but I'll remember you. I remember you. And then he goes on to name all the places that he remembers meeting God. See, talking to his soul, calling his soul, because he knows his soul is captured, his heart is captured by other things. And just in that moment, starting to recollect the pieces back together. So just like David, worship, as we gather in places like this, is the time for us to recollect our hearts back to the core. You see, the great commandment, and we know what the great commandment is, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And I know you've heard teaching on this many, many times. I'll just say my particular view of this in recent times is just like this. That command is a command to love God. I shall love God with my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole strength. So what it means is then I will do things with my heart that can increase my capacity to love God. I will do things with my soul that will increase my capacity to love God. I will do things with my mind that can increase my capacity to love God. I will do things with my body, with my strength, that can increase my capacity to love God. I'll do all those things. I'll bring my body and my mind and my soul, and I'll bring it all into this place. Because life surely is going to happen. And my heart will be in danger of splintering again. So when I gather with the saints here and I worship, I bring my heart and my soul and my mind and my body. And my heart and my soul and my mind and my body will help me to recall God's goodness and His mercy and His strength and His faithfulness and His grace and His unrelenting love towards us. I bring my heart, I bring it all, and I let it all remind me. And in this place of grace then, I recollect all the pieces of my heart back to the core again. Because I will learn, and maybe you're learning now as I am over time, that I do not worship God because of life. And I do not worship God in spite of life. See, because I think sometimes we're letting our life drive our view of God. So, and life is sometimes good and sometimes it's not so good. So I do not worship God because of life. And I don't worship God in spite of life. I worship God in the middle of life. In the middle of life. No matter where I find it. And no matter how I'm finding it. Because what God promised me is that He would be in the middle of life with me. And so if I can, in the middle of life, have these moments, these times when I gather with the saints and I gather with the people of God and I allow them to help me to gather the pieces of my heart back together again. Because my heart is attached to many, many things. If you want to know how much your heart is attached to, just sit still and quiet for a while and watch the thoughts that come up in your heart and your mind. And you will know, you will learn very, very quickly what your heart is attached to. So I wonder if you'll do this with me as we end this time. If you'll grab your pew Bible right there and turn to Psalm 95. I used to go to a church where the preacher said, when you finally get to the page, the right page, say, uh-huh. So if you're at Psalm 95, I want you to quietly read verse 6 and verse 7. My translation says this, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. We are the sheep of His hand. Now I want you to just sit with that scripture just for about a minute and let it wash over your heart. And if it's a moment where it's still a difficulty, Lord, just say to the Lord, Lord, I hear this and I see it and I know it's good. Help me again to center my heart on You, to open my soul again to the truth of Your goodness and Your grace. For I need You so much. Just sit with that for a minute.